Reading comes from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed.
Good evening. It's good to be back tonight. Good to see all those who are here. And we encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along the things that we're studying. This morning, we began a study. I want to look at several lessons from the chapter 11 in Hebrews. So if you'll be turning there, we're going to look at several things as the Lord is trying to get across to us, the concept of faith. When you look at this, He tells us what faith is, and He tells us what faith enables us to have in the first four verses. And then in verse 6, He tells us that without it, it's impossible to please God. He says there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As we said this morning, God doesn't expect us to believe something with blind faith. The faith of the Bible, saving faith, is not blind faith. Faith is based on things that we're convicted of, something that we're assured of. It's the conviction, even though we may not see it, we know that it's there. And there's a lot of things in life that we're convicted that it's there. There's a lot of places in this world I've never been. My mom and dad have talked a lot about France and Germany because my dad was stationed there. And back when women used to wear charm bracelets, I remember as a little boy, she had this little Eiffel Tower there. And that meant something to her because they lived there. And I've never been to Europe. I've never been there to see the Eiffel Tower. I'd like to see that one day. I'd like to go there and see where my mom and dad lived up there close to Germany. And yet I am assured that it's there. I'm convicted because there's evidence. There's more evidence for the things that we read about here than any other thing. There's more written evidence concerning the life of Jesus, the acts of the apostles, than any other doctrine. And He tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And by faith, that kind of faith, the men of old, He says, found approval. And He says, there's things that we understand that we've never seen, such as the world's been prepared by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were made out of things which are visible. They're not made out of things that we're able to see. God created from nothing. So faith gives us assurance. It gives us conviction. It can give us approval if we live by it. And it gives us understanding past those who think they know. You take the scientists think that they know everything there is about, or most of it. They think they know how the world began through this Big Bang theory that they've come up with. But we have greater understanding because of the Word of God. Faith. If we're going to have it, it's got to be the kind that God would have us to have to be saved. There's different kinds of faith. But this is telling us what kind of faith we've got to have. As we said in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. That tells me that, as we talked about a little bit this morning, I've got to have more than just a mental acknowledgement of Jesus, or just say, I believe in Jesus as my personal Savior, and yet know nothing about Him, or not trying to live according to His will. I've got to believe that God is, but I have got to seek Him. That's the only those who do that will be rewarded. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him with this faith. And we said that God knew that we needed more than just a definition. That we needed more than just to tell us what faith is and what it does for us. But God, through His wisdom, has given us living examples of what faith is. He has taken the concept of faith and clothed it in human flesh and presents that for us. And we said, really, that's the way the whole Bible is. We said that the Bible is biographical in nature, and we just don't have a book of rules and regulations or just abstract thoughts, principles. We have biographies of men of old, how they lived and were pleasing to God. And this is what we said, men of old who by this kind of faith found approval. And we said that's what we wanted. We want to go before God and we must find His approval. Well, this is telling us how. And we said that really that's what Jesus did perfectly. God, through Jesus, clothed truth with flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you want to see how to live, you look at Jesus. Jesus, through His writers here, has given us other examples in the Old Testament to show us what faith really is. It's very different from what most people think today. As we looked at this morning, we looked at the example of Abel, the first one here that's listed in verse 4, when it says that by faith Abel offered unto God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Through his example and his life, we see what faith involves. And we see through all these examples that they are active. Faith is not a dead thing, and James talks about that, doesn't he? He talks about how faith and works go together, that saving faith has an active, obedient faith. And here we see that in Abel. He just didn't believe God and accept Him as his God. He sought to worship. And we said that faith always seeks to worship God, and it always seeks to worship as God directs. That's what we looked at this morning. Now I want to look at another example. The next in line, and we said this goes from all the way back to the beginning, all the way through, and the whole point is no matter when we live, what period of the time we live in, any man upon earth, if they're going to find approval from God, it's going to be through this kind of faith. A living, active, obedient faith. And it says here, still going way back toward the beginning, that Enoch, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And then it tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm going to tell you what we've got to have. We've got to have faith like Enoch. We've got to be pleasing to God. The only way that you and I are ever going to be able to be pleasing to God now and to be pleasing to God when we stand before Him in judgment is by a living, active faith in Him. You know, it's here in this passage that he's quoting from Genesis chapter 5. And here I think what we see, you know, with Abel we saw the worship of faith. With Enoch I think you see the walk of faith. It shows me that faith is more than just something that is manifest 2 or 3 times a week. Faith is a walk. It's not something that you turn on and then you turn off. Faith is something that you live by. That's saving faith. It's something that I have to make a part of my whole life to seek God's approval. When you look at the account of Enoch, faith is something that continues through all aspects of life. And when you look at this, back in Genesis chapter 5, you begin to read this, and for a lot of people, I think this kind of reading can be boring. You know, you so-and-so, we got so-and-so, and these genealogies. Sometimes when we're doing our Bible readings, you know, we're trying to read through the Bible, sometimes you get to those chapters, you want to skip over. But even though you can't say all the names properly, I don't. Some of them's hard to say. There's great lessons in this. Really, when you look at Genesis chapter 5 in particular, it's fascinating. Because here's a chapter of the generations of Adam. And this chapter covers 1,500 years of man's history. Moses does that in 32 verses. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 1,500 men don't write that way, do they? You can tell that this is inspired writing. 1,500 years of man's history. You ever seen a history book like that? In 32 verses. But he does it. Verse 5 says, so all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And then you come to verse 8, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, so all the days of Enosh were 950 years, and he died. Verse 14, so all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. And you go on down and you read through all this account of history. It's divinely recorded, 1,500 years of it, and there's one particular thing that you see throughout, and is that men lived, they bore children, and they died. And they died. And they died. That's the thing. I'd like to suggest to you that the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis here is here to vindicate God. I think it's sort of a divine, I told you so. God said, you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, and you shall surely die. And when you come here, you see the activity of Satan. And you see how he continually, and there's a lesson here, isn't it? He continually, year after year, generation after generation, is seeking to separate man and his children from God. And you see the cheers of Satan. The camp of Satan cheers each time. And he died. And he died. And he died. It seems that he has the upper hand. And it's here, as we said, it's sort of a divine I told you so, that God said that you'll die. You remember Satan said, oh, if you eat of this, you shall surely not die. And Eve listened to the deceit of Satan. How many people listen to Satan's deception in this world and turn from God, and as a result, they separate themselves from God? And men die. Spiritually. First, sin separates us from God. And here I think we see over and over again, God means what he says. God cannot tolerate sin and will not tolerate sin. And they die, and they die, and they die. But then all of a sudden, here's one who's born and he lived and he didn't die. Just like that. All of a sudden, Satan's order, Satan's control is interrupted. The fires in Satan's camp cease to burn. Here's a man who lived, he bore children, and he didn't die. Why? Faith. That's why. That's what we're talking about. What is it that you and I have to have to overcome Satan? What is it that you and I have to have to be able to find approval to God? To be rewarded by God? This was a reward, wasn't it? He lived 365 years and he was not, for God took him. He left this earth, bypassed the undertaker. The key to breaking Satan's power is to live a life of faith, to walk by faith. And I think first thing we can see in this is the duration of faith. Enoch walked with God, but I think it's emphasized that he walked with God with endurance for 300 years. Now, it didn't start out that way. In verse 21, it says Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Now, it's hard to think about Methuselah being a baby. How old was he? Oldest man ever lived, right? 969 years. But he started out just like all of us. By about 6-7 pounds, I don't know. So, you know, just small. Just a baby. But when he was born, it made a change, evidently, in Enoch. Now, it doesn't say that what he did before, but it seems to mark the fact that after he became the father of Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. He had other sons and daughters, but when he had Methuselah, he started walking with God. It seems to imply that before that, he wasn't walking like he should. Now, there's a whole other lesson just in there, and I'm going to preach that one of these days. We'll come back to that, but there's lessons about evangelism in that, you know? Sometimes when important events come up in people's lives, birth of a child, maybe the loss of a loved one, sometimes it can make people look at things like they never looked at it before. And that's a good time to talk to people about the Lord. You know that? That's a whole other lesson. 65 has Methuselah. Something, maybe looking in that baby's eyes. Maybe realizing how wonderful a blessing the birth of the child was to him. But he started walking with God, and he was in there for the endurance of it. He walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. Now, you look at that, and you look at these genealogies, that's a long time. And that's almost to the time of Noah, which would have been his grandson. And so he walked through times that were tough, especially later in his life, because you know how the world was getting by the time of Noah. This was not just a hunky-dory walk. This was life. Life is not easy, is it? I don't care when you live, life is not easy. And you face all kinds of things. And I don't think we're facing it as like they did at the times of Noah. It's going toward that time, toward that way. But that's when he was walking. And he did it for 300 years. You just think about that. We have a difficult time in the short life that we have sometimes walking with God. And what's our lifespan? The Bible says that it's 70, if you strength 80, and some make it past that. You know, my grandmother's 96. But you hardly ever hear any people living past 110, you know. Sometimes you hear close to that. But our life here, how you look at it really, compared to these people, in that time when the Lord allowed them to live longer, to populate the earth, life is short. But sometimes we have, it seems, problems. We have temptations and discouragements, and we find it difficult to walk with God. But here's a man who walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. You know, when one of our loved ones is taken in death, it's always a time of sorrow. It's a time of absence. But when that person is a faithful child of God, mixed with the sorrows and tears is joy. Because we realize they live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, and they're going to go home, eventually be glorified with Him in the last day. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. That's the way we look at it. Should. Ought not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Doesn't mean we don't grieve, but we don't grieve like everybody else because of the hope that we have of those who die in the Lord. You just think about the disciples that we read about in the New Testament, for example. You just go back to Acts 9, verse 36, and we read about Dorcas. Here was one who the Bible says was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. I think here's somebody who's walking with the Lord. She continually did it. That's walking in it. You know, Christianity is not some, well, I'm baptized, and I just, I'm, you know, have enthusiasm at first, and then I kind of wean off from that, you know, and then I become complacent. No, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. It's a walk. Walk and be careful how you walk. How many times throughout the New Testament we're told to walk and walk worthy of the calling which we've been called? We're to walk daily. It's talking about living by faith daily unto the Lord. Dorcas did that. The deed she did continually. This was not a person that ran hot one minute, cold the next. This wasn't somebody that you had to beg to attend, to, you know, push to get them to be involved in the work of the Lord. This is somebody who was involved with it. In fact, verse 39, you see those who knew her, they were standing there. She lay in her death, and they were bringing those garments and holding up the things that she had made for them. Here was one who was faithful unto God and walked with God for several years. And really, we've got quite a bit recorded about Dorcas, you know, compared to many. compared to Enoch. But Enoch, you know, it doesn't say much. It just says he walked, but he walked for 300 years. That says a lot right there, doesn't it? It's duration. That's what the Lord's emphasizing. It wasn't about all the things he did and what he had go. It's that whatever he did and however he did it by faith and he walked. He kept on. He kept on keeping on. I think about even people like Phoebe. You know, there's not a lot said about Phoebe. Romans 16, verse 1. But I want to tell you, when Phoebe passed from this earth, people missed her. There's no doubt that congregation at Synchrea missed Phoebe. Because this was one who the Bible says who had been a helper of many, including the Apostle Paul. And when she left, people missed her. Faithful people that have died in the Lord and served the Lord for several years. You know, what an accomplishment. But here was a man who walked for 300 years. Now, I want to emphasize that. I think that's what the Lord's emphasizing. You know, to do that, the Bible teaches that you've got to count the cost. I think when we're teaching people the gospel of Jesus, we need to tell them that it's a free gift of God, and we need to talk about how easy that it is to become a Christian, as far as what is explained what we need to do. But then it's a commitment. And I think that's what the Lord, you know, the Lord, many people come to him, want to follow him, and he would say, now you need to count the cost. And folks need to know that. A lot of times we teach them initially what to do to become a Christian. We don't teach them what they need to do in being a Christian and help them and encourage them in that. That's important. He said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, teach them all things that I commanded, right? You know, that comes after. That's part of it. And I think that's what he's saying here. If I don't do that, if I don't realize that myself, then I won't endure. You look over at Luke chapter 14. And here he's talking about how that you've got to count the cost before you start into an endeavor. In chapter 14, verse 28, he said, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down to calculate the cost, to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish. All who observe begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build, not able to finish. Or what king, when he set out to meet another in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he's strong enough to, with 10,000 men, to encounter the one coming with him, against him with 20,000? Or that's why the other's far away, he'll send delegation, ask terms of peace. What's he saying? Said you got to count the cost. He says there in verse 33, so therefore no one can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. You know, some people are not willing to give up things that's going to keep them from being totally devoted to the Lord so that they'll continue to walk. And I need to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, do I have this kind of faith? By faith, Enoch walked. How did he walk? He walked with endurance. Whatever it was before Methuselah was born, it was holding him back. He laid it aside. And if there's something in my life, something in your life that's keeping you from walking, I'm talking about walking daily. I'm not talking about being hot and cold. I'm talking about really walking with the Lord so that if the Lord comes, I'd be ready to go right now. If there's something in my life that's keeping me from doing that, I need to set it aside. You got to count the cost. And once you start, you can't look back. You know, the Lord talked about those who would put their hand to the plow and look back. No, when you start out on this work of the Lord, when you put your hand to the plow, you keep on plowing. You keep on walking. You plow to the field plow. I don't know how long my row of turning is going to be in this life. Might be shorter than yours, might be longer than yours. All of us got a field to plow in the kingdom of the Lord. And he said, once you take hold of it, you plow to the plowing's done. Don't look back. Hold on. You know, you think about it. How many people with ability, people who know the truth, have turned back, quit walking? Demas turned back. Couldn't take it for a short 40, 50 years. And you wonder why. You look at preachers, you look at elders, there's so many who become disheartened or embittered and they give up, lay down the armor, give up the fight. I'll tell you, there's discouragements that come to all of us. But we have got to, by faith, walk. Remember how long it is. And I want to tell you, this is here to tell me that if Enoch can do it for 300 years, we can do it for our life. By faith. What kind of faith? This kind of faith. Faith that has assurance and conviction. That's the kind of faith that finds approval under God. And if you're not walking like you need to walk, not going to find approval. If we got brethren around us that's not living like they ought to live in faith, we need to try to strengthen them so that they'll walk faithful to the Lord so we can all get there at the end to be found faithful and find approval. This kind of walk presses on. Well, we had a sermon about this not long ago. We'll spend a lot of time with this passage, but I think it's familiar to you, Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press on to the... He's talking about walking. And so many times the Apostle Paul would even use the idea of running the race, like he did, or even the Hebrew writer here in chapter 12. Running the race is before us. The Christian race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on with endurance. And the only way you can do that is be convicted. The only way you can do that is be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He says, be faithful, and I'll give you a crown of life. And that is faithful unto death, even in the face of death, to be faithful. Faithful like Enoch. But I tell you something else that it shows me, and this is encouragement to me. Is the walk of faith is one not only of endurance, duration, but it's a faith of an everyday, you might say, common life. When you look at Enoch, it helps me. I think this is one of the things that causes somebody like Enoch to become your favorite characters in Bible history. Because Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and yet it does not mention one thing that he did that was grand or grandiose. I look at Enoch and I just see a common man. When you look at these men of the Bible, and it doesn't matter what period they come from, we said he goes through all these periods of time. None of these people are great people. At least it didn't start out that way. Now, they were people with problems. They were people with shortcomings, wasn't they? And I tell you what made them great was not that they were great and God called them because they were great. God called them because they wasn't great. But what made them great was that they had faith, true, obedient faith in a great God. That's what made them great. And Enoch's listed here in the Hebrew heroes of faith, honor roll of faith, not because that we read about him building a city or conquering a kingdom or dethroning a king, but because he lived every day in a common way of life, day in, day out, getting up, going to work, coming home, starting all over. But he done it by faith. Sometimes I think people get to thinking, you know, only one's really going to be find approval to God. A few gifted writers in the brotherhood and a few, you know, gifted elders. And I tell you who finds God approval. It's regardless who he is in the kingdom, who does his job day in, day out. It may be mundane. It may be that nobody really pays any attention to that, but I want to tell you, God notices. There were men, no doubt, who accomplished great things in the world. In fact, you go through the genealogies and you can find a lot of things that the descendants of Cain did. They were pretty big accomplishments physically. But who left this world and bypassed death? It was Enoch. Just a normal man who walked by faith. You know, you look at men like Abraham, and there was high points of faith in his life. You can see him up on Mount Moriah, lays out the wood, lays the body of his, lays his son out, and raises a knife over it. You know, that's a high point of faith, willing to do that. You think about David, when just a young man lays aside the armor of Saul, goes out there in the brook, picks up a few little rocks, and takes that slingshot, and walks right up to the giant, knowing God's with him, and slays it with a slingshot and a rock, and then goes over and picks up his sword and cuts off the giant's head and holds it up, and the Philistines flee. It's all kinds of things you read like that in the scriptures. But ain't it? He walked with God. And I want to tell you, that's just as great as anything else that anybody ever done. That's why he's listed with these people. He was an ordinary man, but the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 that God has called not many mighty, not many noble. Not what he's looking for. He doesn't call great people. He calls people who can be made great by him if they'll put their faith in him and walk with him daily. You want to be great in the kingdom? You want to be numbered along with those who found God's approval? Right along with Abraham and Moses? Then be like Enoch and walk with God. Walk with him faithfully day in and day out. And glory in your humility. Isn't that what James said? James chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. And you know, he's talking about those who were rich. And then he's talking about those who are poor. And he said, if you're poor, just take glory in your humility. Because you are great through the Lord. That's his point. The way to go up is to go down, isn't it? The way to be exalted is to humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he what? He will raise you up. He'll exalt you. And it was just a humble man. Maybe his humility really kicked in at age 65 when Methuselah was born. But from that point on, he gave himself to the Lord. He put his hand to the plow. He didn't look behind, but he pressed on. And he gloried in his humility when the Lord took him. It tells me that I've got to walk daily. That's what faith is. Approving. Faith that finds approval is a daily walk. Luke 9, verse 23. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. And John has a lot to say about that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He's talking about walking with the Lord. And he says, we claim that we walk with the Lord, and we're walking in darkness, we're just fooling ourselves. You can't walk in the darkness, walk in the light at the same time. You just can't do it. Some people try. Some people who claim to be Christians try. And they come and they go through the motions of religion. We try to fool ourselves. We're walking with God. But that's not walking by faith. Walking by faith is not just doing it on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening. It's all during the week of every year that I live here on the earth, I'm walking with God faithfully. Trusting in him. And when I will walk with the Lord in the light as he is in the light, then I've got fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. This is walking by faith. This is the kind of faith that saves. This is the kind of faith that you and I need. This is the kind of faith that we've got to have. You know, he was the only one who, besides Elijah, that was able to bypass the undertaker, to leave this world, to overcome death. And I think that's what we're talking about when we're talking about finding approval. You find approval with God and you'll be able to overcome death. Everybody else, and he died, and he died, and he died, but it was broken. The key to breaking the power of death is a faithful walk with God. A faithful walk with Jesus. Back in chapter 2, verse 14, he said that Jesus shared in flesh and blood that he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might set us free from this fear that we've been under all our lives. Walking with the Lord overcomes death, just as sure as it did for Enoch. It may be that the Lord will come before we face death, but we've got to be ready whenever he comes. Whether it's during our lifetime or after our life, we will stand before the Lord in judgment. And whether we enter in, whether we find his approval, is whether or not we've lived and walked and worshiped by faith. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus, his word, by repenting and being baptized, then you can't walk with him until you obey him and come and be cleansed by his blood. You can do that tonight. Things are prepared. You can become a Christian tonight. Start walking with the Lord, just like you, being ready. If you have something in your life that's keeping you from walking, get rid of it. Repent of it. Right now while we stand singing a song.